Hi there, Anne. I have reviewed your Module 3 Learning Activities assignment, the draft of your learning activities, and I am going to give you feedback on that assignment with this audio podcast. Overall, you have done a great job in thinking through the activities for your course and laying them out in a systematic and consistent manner. You have a variety of types of activities and some really innovative approaches to how you're articulating these activities at this stage. And so I'm very pleased to see how you are incorporating what you are learning or what you have learned in this course and elsewhere into the design of your learning activities. So overall, I think you've done a great job, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how this, how you interpret these in your actual course shell. I'm going to go through module by module and give you some comments and suggestions and feedback. And so I'll start with module one. As I said to you elsewhere, I love your module titles. I think that they're very engaging and contextually interesting and relevant to your topic, to your subject. The one thing that I can't tell is how you're going to label the course assignments and activities and sections. And I just want to reiterate here that how you end up, when you transfer this stuff into your course shell, how you end up labeling things is very important, equally important to, you know, how I stress the titles of your modules being engaging and meaningful and conveying some instructional information to the students. So keep that in mind as you transfer your activities into your shell. So for example, you know, I can't tell what you're going to call your discussions. And so here you use the phrase P2P or peer-to-peer to indicate, you know, the fact that it's students talking to students in the discussion. But the title of the discussion should be contextual to the actual question. And I can't really tell what the discussions are going to be from what I see here in this assignment. So if they're going to be talking about using the card catalog, yet, which I know doesn't exist anymore, but you know what I mean, then, you know, for example, the title of the discussion should be, you know, it could be P2P colon using the card catalog, so that the student knows prior to actually clicking on that document that that's what that discussion is going to be about. So keep that in mind as you begin to design things into your course shell. So it's basically a getting to know each other module, the icebreaking module. You're going to make some videos, which I think is really cool. So then you are also you're going to have them ask questions. It's hard for me to understand without actually seeing how you're framing that assignment with the instructions and so forth exactly how that's going to work. So I'm not sure yet, and I guess I'll wait to see how that is implemented in your course. And I had that question actually throughout your assignment. It wasn't entirely clear questions the students were going to answer. You say answer one of your classmates' unanswered questions, and so I'm not sure how you're guiding their asking of the the questions that the students are supposed to answer from each other. So I'm just not sure enough about the activity the activity to give you feedback on it. I love that you're doing the pair interviews. I'm wondering how you're going to set that up also. How are you going to, assign the pairs, or are you going to let them self-select? I would recommend that you assign it. It'll take too long to have them self-select unless you have some kind of interesting mechanism for doing that. I'm wondering how you're going to guide the instructions of them interviewing each other. Will you provide them with some sort of little worksheet that they then work off of, or, you know, how exactly you're going to instruct them to interview each other? You have to think through everything very carefully and anticipate all of their questions and their potential problems and issues. So I'm very curious about how you will implement that activity. Let's see. You are going to, you're having them ask one of their peers a question in the library cafe. So I love the idea that you're creating an activity that asks them to go to the cafe and to do something. I'm not sure without the instructions for the activity how that's going to work. If I understand correctly, based on the interviews, you want them to go to the cafe and address a question to one of the students. And it just seems a little bit kludgy to take them from one area where the interviews are to another area to ask their question. And how you instruct them on how to do this is going to make or break the activity. And so how they label, like, how are they going to know that there's a question there directed for them, directed to them? So just, I am just unsure about sort of the mechanics of how the activities are going to work. I love the idea that you have a cafe. I love the idea that in the icebreaking module, you're directing them to go there and do something. I love that you're doing the paired interviews. I'm just thinking about, okay, how do I operationalize this? How do I actually design this so that it's going to be crystal clear to the students what they're supposed to be doing, where, when, how they're supposed to, both technically and logistically interact with the activities, and then, sort of conceptually what they're supposed to be doing. So in your discussion, you say that the students are going to interact and that you're going to facilitate. What I'd like to see here to give you better feedback is the actual question that you're asking. So what is what, and you know, even though it may be simple as introduce yourself or write a short bio or interview, your selected classmate. The way that you phrase it helps me to understand better where you're. The way that you phrase the discussion question helps me to better understand where you're going with it, and I can help you, give you some feedback on making sure that the way that you're phrasing the questions will result in engagement and enthusiasm and interaction for the activity. So you have 8 steps and only 2 things that you're evaluating. So it's like there's 8 things that it looks like that you're asking them to do, and only 2 things that you have posted in your evaluation. And I had to laugh when I saw 33.4 points for discussion and 14.4 points for the blog. I'm Just wondering why the 0.4, and isn't there any way that you can like get rid of that, so that it's like, just a solid number of points. It just seems unnecessarily. I don't know. It's just funny. And if I mean, I would recommend that you make that solid number of points, like tweak the points so that it comes out right, All right, so then in terms of evaluation, everything that you have them do, so how are you going to assess and give feedback about whether or not they've thoroughly and actively read the course information documents? And my recommendation would be, well, I mean, there's a million ways to do this. You can have them do a little self-test. I've seen that done very effectively, where you give them a little quiz on where do you find, what phone number can you call only in an emergency, or where would you go to have a virtual cup of coffee in my course, or you know what I mean? Like, so there's things that you could do to force them to review the course information materials, and you can point out the things that are particularly important, making sure that they can respond to them with the use of that self-test. And it can be self-graded, and you can have it open so that they can take it any number of times. And in fact, I would recommend that if you have the students read anything or watch any videos, these self-assessment quizzes are really good mechanisms to use as make them low stakes, so not worth a lot of points, and open, and able to be taken any number of times, and they can really be used as reading guides or viewing guides, so that the students can do the reading or viewing assignment and then check themselves to see how well they have understood the material, or to make sure that they've gotten the main points out of the material that you've laid out for them in those readings or videos. So just keep think about that. In addition, you need to give them some, have a way, some value, for the different activities that you have them do. And so that would include creating their post, their profile, and asking the question in the library cafe. So it may be that you make some of these activities have multiple parts. So, pairing up for the interviews, there may be a sub-component of that activity that is the question in the library cafe. And so you only need to evaluate the discussion, but a component that would go into that rating would be, or the points would be, whether or not and how well they contributed to the library cafe. And so then you could collapse 5 and 6 of your content presentation into, the main activity and then a sub activity, and then the points for that would come from a combination of both of those activities. I mean, you could do it there that way. And the same the same for well, I'm not entirely sure here, because we have a discussion about sharing a memorable. So only 7 and 8 are the things that you currently have listed for some sort of grade. And actually, in your evaluation, you say that you're going to provide feedback on 3 through 6, but not assign any grade. So, when you actually say that you're not going to assign any grades, well, first of all, I would never say that, because immediately, from a student's perspective. If there's no grade involved, they're not going to do it. And so I see you're going to give them 10 points, so you've already thought this through. All right. But you're calling it extra credit. So why not just get rid of that and just say completing steps 3 through 6 will get you 10 points, not extra points, 10 points. I don't know, the extra points thing, I'm not a big fan of that. It's like it's either worth something or it's not. So yeah, I mean, I actually like that, how you're doing that, the giving them points for completing 3 through 6. And you just say, I would just say it flat out. You'll get 10 points for completing 3 through 6. You'll get 33.4 for the discussion and 14.4 for the blog. And then I would figure out how you could incorporate the self-tests for the videos and for the reading, and add a few more points, for that. And my feedback still stands regarding like trying to collapse these related activities, wherever they might be. And maybe it is 3 through 6 is all like one main activity with subcomponents, and that's the one that's worth the 10 points. So anyway, think about that and see if any of that, what you can do with that, how you can work with that. All right, let's go on to module 2. What's the big deal about research? They're gonna think about how the internet has disrupted things. They're gonna look at information cycle for criteria for evaluating. I'd be interested in knowing what that those criteria are. And they're going to choose a topic of interest. I love that you're leaving that open to them to choose something that they are interested and engaged in researching. They're going to read some stuff. They're going to interact with each other. They're going to watch a video. They're going to create a research log. I'm wondering what they're going to create that in. Is that a simple discussion forum, or are you going to have them use some external tool? They're going to read some more stuff and they're going to discuss. So, they're going to share an interesting website related to their topic and evaluate it with your four criteria and comment on to it. So, all right, so this is interesting. You're directing them to do something, which is to share a website. Then you're asking them to, so that's kind of a written assignment. Right, so share a website and evaluate it with the four criteria. What's the question? What's the discussion question? And what's the authentic interaction that the students are going to have? You say comment on at least two of your peers' posts, referring to both the topic selection and the evaluation. So I'm not really sure. Like, if I was a student, I don't know if I would know what to do. Okay, so someone's website is on, creating cartoon comics, and they evaluate it, using your four criteria. As a different student coming in and looking at that, what am I supposed to say? Cool website, I don't think that you use criteria number 4 very well. I mean, so think that through. I mean, part of it is that I can't really tell completely because I don't see the instructions and sort of the additional information. that you're going to provide with this learning activity, but I want to make sure that you think about it and think about the guiding questions that you're going to ask the students, and that and make sure that they are that what you are creating is an authentic opportunity for interaction. You know, just saying, you know, just labeling something a discussion doesn't make it one. And, you know, asking them to find and share a website and evaluate it is not a discussion. It's a written assignment, as I said. And then just saying, comment on, you know, two other students' posts does not make that a discussion. So there has to be something that's guiding them, that if it feels authentic, you know, to actually result in an exchange, an authentic discussion, an authentic interaction or exchange. So keep that in mind. I love that you're having them blog, and I'm wondering if you're having them blog in an external tool, and where that activity of creation of that blog, you didn't mention it in the beginning. And so I'm wondering where they're creating it and what tool they're going to be using. And I love that they're doing that, that you're having them do that. And I'm wondering, you know, I'm always really concerned about locking student-created work within the confines of the course management system. And as a student, you know, think and trying to be as learner-centered as possible, as an instructor, I value the energy and the effort that the students put into curating resources, and in particular in your course, Anne, where this is about research and the students are going to research a topic that's of interest to them, and they're going to put energy into this research log. I'm wondering if it might not be more valuable to them to have that research log live external to the course management system, since it is on a topic of their choice. And you want, I mean, I always think about, you know, at the end of the term, their access to the course goes away. And so unless they've, you know, kept stuff separately from the LMS, you know, we essentially yoink their access to their, you know, to their work. So my suggestion would be, if possible, to think about having them create their research log, possibly in their blog, so that they can keep it and share it publicly, and both with their peers and, you know, essentially on the read-write web, and then have it beyond the end of the term. I mean, there may be aspects of that assignment that you have them submit internal to the course management system, but, you know, I'm just wondering if there might not be some sort of a portfolio that represents the artifacts of that, of those assignments externally, so that they can continue to have access to their, you know, student-created materials beyond the end of the term. Just keep it in mind. Love that you're asking them to reflect on how the class is going and what they're finding challenging. I like that you asked what they're finding and exciting, which I think is very, you know, sweet in some ways, that you are anticipating that they are, in fact, finding stuff exciting in your course. I think that's awesome. All right. So you're going to post a video for feedback. That sounds awesome. All right, so I see in your evaluation you've got four things. Evaluation section, there's four things, and there are seven things in your content presentation. So I just want you to be aware about matching up the activities and the assessments. And it might be in the way that you list. Sort of like what I was talking about in your first module, 3 through 6 could be collapsed into a single activity. Just be aware of that, and that will help you to identify and match, you know, making sure that you are matching assessments to activities. Again, here you have readings and videos and so forth, and I would really strongly recommend that you incorporate some sort of a mechanism for making sure that the students are actually not just completing those activities, but they're getting out of those activities what you would like them to get out of them. So really, you know, keeping in mind the formula of your course level objectives, your module level objectives, activities that map directly to those objectives, assessments that map to each and every one of those activities, and following that formula, it's really, you know, very systematic and a good roadmap to make sure that you achieve what you're hoping to achieve. It's a really good framework to use for the design of the activities in the course. Okay. Module 3 is laying the groundwork. You're going to be doing some concept mapping, which is cool. I'm wondering what tools you're going to be using. Five steps necessary to create a search menu. They're going to read, they're going to watch videos, they're going to do their peer-to-peer. So the peer-to-peer stuff is based on the video and the chapter. And so maybe I just am missing something. It's because I don't really understand what it is. All you're asking them is to answer one of your classmates' unanswered questions, and I don't know how they get to that point. What I think I understand now is that you are actually using this peer-to-peer discussion, to assess their reading and watching of the video, which I think is good. But I don't know how they get there. I don't know how they get there. And I'm thinking about, you know, what is the discussion question? What is the question? What are the instructions for this activity? What is the discussion question that you're going to ask them that will prompt them, that will result in this? What are the instructions that are going to result in this? And then, the other thing I was thinking about was that you're going to need to provide models for the students so that they understand very clearly what it is that they're supposed to produce, what a high quality response to your number 3 content presentation there will look like, and the same for the research log, and the same for the straight up discussion, and the same for the blog post. So keep in mind that you'll need to either mock up examples or exemplars or models, just to make sure that the students know and are able to be as successful as possible in producing what it is that you want. If you leave it open, you will never believe the wide variety of stuff that you will get. And sometimes that's a good thing, but if you're looking for something that's very specific, then that's not definitely not a good thing. So just keep that in mind. I mean, the flip side is also true, just as I'm thinking this through, the flip side is also true. If you model it, then the students will be very careful about, giving back to you something that looks pretty much exactly like what you've modeled. So you need to be sure that whatever it is that you're using for an example, it is actually what you want. All right, let's go to module four, digging into books and scholarly articles. So they're going to find and evaluate some books and journal articles that are associated with their topic. I love that. They're going to read some stuff. They're going to discuss again with each other based on the readings. They're going to watch some video. Again, in this one, I don't see that it's related to any discussion, so a little self-grading quiz might be good for that one. They're going to complete their research logs. I'm wondering, are you guiding their research logs in some way with some inventory? Or is there some kind of a, outline or something that they're filling out in order to do these activities, these logs? And here in this discussion, how are electronic books similar to and different from printed books? What features do you find helpful in the e-platform that you used? Now, how is that a discussion? It's if you respond to that question, how do you discuss that? Like, I find the ability to search a book on a keyword useful in identifying, in being able to quickly find, passages in the book or whatever. Now, that might be one student. Now, how would another student come in on and comment on that? I disagree. I don't find that feature useful. You know what I mean? Or I agree, that feature is quite useful. So that's really not, an authentic interaction. It's artificial. I mean, it feels artificial to me. So what's the question? It's like distill out of that. I mean, this is where going back to your module level objectives can really help you. What is the objective that this discussion is helping you to achieve? And so I think you need to think about that and see if you can distill, based on the objective for the activity, what the essence of the question is that you want them to grapple with. So I'm gonna let you think about that. In the blog, what strategies did you find effective for extracting relevant information? How was searching in each type of resource different? Okay. All right, let's go to module five, framing magazine and newspaper articles. They're gonna look at the similarities and differences, and then you're going to have them find and select and evaluate articles. I think this has to do that those are the that they are materials that they're going to be using for their research project, right? They're going to watch some videos, then they're going to discuss those videos, then they're going to do their logs, then they're going to do a discussion, locate a blog post that covers information that's related. How is this blog similar or different from the articles? What was your evaluation process with the blog post? That's interesting, but it's not a discussion question. That's a written assignment. And so if you are conflating the two and just slapping on top of that, respond to two of your classmates, you know, whatever, it's really not enough. You're not creating an environment for authentic interaction. So just think about that. What strategies did you find effective for locating a relevant magazine? Was that different from the relevant newspaper article? And then, so what about the blog post? I mean, so you're having them look for a magazine article and a newspaper article, and but you also mentioned that you're looking, having them look for a blog. So, I mean, how do you evaluate? I'm just wondering why that one's excluded from the blog post. All right, let's go to Module 6, Building Out with Open Web Resources. They're going to look at the web as a repository of information, and you're going to have them analyze and compare the resources found on the open web from the resources found in the library. And also, you're going to have them look at how to maximize their searching for resources and evaluating resources. And you're going to have them explore some Web 2.0 tools, which sounds cool. I wonder what tools you're going to use, possibly Deagle or Zotero or something. Very curious about that. I like that you give them the option to play with one of the tools that you are providing for them. You're giving them the option to find their own tool. I love that. And then you're asking them to reflect on what they thought, what strategies were effective, and what new skills they learned. I love that. And how they can be applied outside the class. I love that. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. So now you have, in Module 7, you're calling it the afterword, which I think is cute, lovely, really nice. They're going to submit their final project, a formally annotated bibliography. I'm wondering if they're submitting that privately to you or publicly to the class. I'm wondering if that could be submitted via their blog so that they always have access to it and that it's publicly available. I like that you're asking them to, you're focusing on the peer-to-peer activity and that you're asking them to talk about how their peers helped them in the class. I really love that you are asking them to write a letter to a student who will take the class next to give them tips on succeeding. So you will be using forms. There's no form for this slot. So you will be using forms. I can't wait to see how that, what that is, looks like. And then you're asking them to share what they learned in the course and how they might apply it to, you know, those skills in school, their career, and their personal life. I love that. I love it. That's perfect. And then you're asking them to complete a course evaluation. So, what's missing for me here at the end is your class community area. Like, where is the space? Where is the cafe located? And I would assume, I mean, it's not technically a module, but it needs, you know, in terms of actually being represented in your course management system, it is a module. So you need a module 8, I believe, that will house your cafe and that can house some other stuff like your bulletin board for assignment, for announcements. I would create a suggestion box to collect suggestions from the students or give them the understanding that they can make suggestions from day one of the course. It could also house the cafe, the suggestion box, the announcements, and it can also be the place where you, at the end of the course, collect the descriptive feedback from your students. Now, this is completely different and separate from a course evaluation. A course evaluation is something that your institution conducts. It's a formal evaluation of you and your course, and that is completely different from the descriptive feedback that I've been talking about in the course manual and in other assignments that you've done. That descriptive feedback is between you and the student only. It's not something that your department chair or that your institution will necessarily know about or have access to. It really is a mechanism that you can use to solicit and elicit constructive feedback from the student so that you can use that to... as you review and evaluate and revise your course for the next time you're going to teach it. So it's not enough to just say, you know, what did you like about the course? What didn't you like about the course? Or did you like the course? That will not result in, really usable feedback for you. You have to ask very specific questions. And if you look in the course manual and search on descriptive feedback or culminating activity, you will see I have an instrument that you can adopt or adapt that you can see what I'm talking about, that it's asking very specific questions about the student's experience in the course, and the purpose being get information from the students that you can then, calibrate, you can then evaluate to see if there is something there that you could use when you go to review and evaluate and revise the course. So those are my comments and questions and suggestions. Anne, overall, you've done a fantastic job on your learning activities. I can't wait to see how you implement these into your course shell. And this looks like a great course, and you have some really innovative approaches that I can see here. I really see where you're going with the course. I see your thinking through the different elements and your application of the concepts and the theories and the approaches that we're talking about in our course. And so I'm very pleased to see this, and I'm looking forward to seeing how this then gets transferred and translated into your shell. Well done.